This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Matt?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Sorry. I was so ready for your intro for this unexpected episode that we're recording right now.
Matt, in the time that we've done this podcast, time and time again, I think the greatest treasure troves that we have found are these obscure, weird TV appearances that...
Yeah.
And this is an interesting one because it's like we're only getting half the story here. We're getting Al in the finals, and search as I might, I could not find the qualifying episode for Al to be on the Wheel of Fortune Music Stars Finals that aired on May 6, 1994, but...
Yeah, there's a Wheel of Fortune, like, Music Stars charity edition, and it seems like it was like a tournament where it was like qualifying rounds and people advanced through those rounds. And we have the final round where, tragically, Al, spoiler alert, Al loses.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get into the whole thing, but we don't see the round where he wins and advances to this final. I also don't understand, and maybe you know the answer, in this round, why are James Brown and Little Richard sharing a seat?
So I'm going to try to explain this. So
okay.
there is a video that you can find on Seth Meyers' YouTube channel. It's a
a
2 minute clip. He had Al on his talk show.
Uh-huh.
And he said, "You were on Wheel of Fortune like 20 years ago." And this is from 2014. And Al says, "They called me up and they said," he goes, "My manager calls me and says they want you to be on the Wheel of Fortune music tournament." And I said, "That's not really something that I'm interested in doing." And then they said, "Well, Little Richard and James Brown already signed up for it." And I said, "Get me a ticket." And so he goes, and what he says is, "I got to watch James Brown learn what Wheel of Fortune and the game of Hangman is." And he goes, "So we're doing..." I think Little Richard was essentially there to help James Brown understand the game. Because
seriously? Oh, my God. I mean, that makes sense.
He said that they're doing the test, like the first round. And he's like, "And I'm watching it from behind the scenes because I'm not in the qualifying episode."
Right.
He goes, and James spins the wheel, and it lands on a chunk of money. And they go, "All right, James, what letter do you want?" And he goes, and he goes, and the production's kind of like, "James, it's a 30-minute show. Like, we got to have something." So then he goes, "How about you give me an A?" And they said, "No, Mr. Brown, when you spin the wheel, you have to say a consonant." And he said, "Oh, well, then Europe."
Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
So what we find out here, first of all, crazy when you think about the fact that we are now about, at the time that this episode comes out, it's 2024. So this is a 30-year-old episode of Wheel of Fortune. And Pat Sajak and Vanna White have, like, just announced that they're retiring, like,
yes.
Now.
Oh, right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Like, no, it's like, it's crazy. I mean, we even clocked, this was a while ago, where we talked about
Stuck in a Closet.
When Al recorded Stuck in a Closet, Vanna was relatively new. That is years before this.
Yeah. I wonder if he brought that up at all, at any point. Like, I'd love to know if in that first episode, if they brought up, you wrote a song about Vanna White.
I know. What a shame that we don't have more of that kind of footage. Because you'd think, I mean, if the Wheel of Fortune people had done even a small amount of research, they would have been able to figure that out. Although, I don't know how, I mean, we don't know enough about Vanna White. I don't know how Vanna White responds to the, did you know I wrote a song called Stuck in a Closet with You? She's just like, okay.
Yeah, moving on. They do announce, so that we can like lock a time frame a little bit here, that Al is currently on tour promoting Alapalooza.
Alapalooza, yes, that's right.
That this is airing. And we already said he's up against the combo of James Brown and Little Richard and Trump's favorite country artist, Lee Greenwood.
Oh, my God. I mean, like, what a final round. Four people. Again, guys, this is, it's up online. I think we watched this on Daily Motion.
Right? It's on YouTube and Daily Motion.
It is on YouTube
as well.
You can
watch it on both ways, yeah.
But, yeah, this is the four people standing in a row. Lee Greenwood. God bless the USA's Lee Greenwood. Little Richard, James Brown, and Weird Al. I mean, it is the most wild. I can understand. It's you know, the James Brown stuff is funny. And even in this episode, like what actually made it to air, there are multiple times where James takes an uncomfortably long time to say a letter after he spins. And it's clear that he doesn't fully... He got one. He did get one correct.
He did, this, but, okay, in, but I clocked this. There are two full puzzles where James Brown and Little Richard don't correctly guess a single letter.
No, they are really having a hard time. And it does seem like Little Richard has a look on his face that is like a combination of like annoyance and concern the whole time. Because it's like this, clearly like we're playing for charity. They both have separate charities. And they say on the show, if you win, we're going to split the money between your two charities.
Yeah, so okay, Little Richard's looking at giving half of $0 to a charity at this point.
And James Brown at one point in the episode just takes a moment, like, you know, they talk to the people and he tells a like short story about how Little Richard helped like break him, like came to see him in Georgia when he was young. And James is trying to tell this sweet story about how he owes a lot of his career to Little Richard. And the look on Little Richard's face is just like, dude, shut up. Yeah. Shut up, dude. You're talking too much. You got to stop.
No one needs to hear this.
No one needs to hear this story. And man, it's just, I don't know if I'm reading into it too much. And of course, you know, the sad, like we have to address, this is a point where James Brown, it is well documented. He is on drugs. He is not in a good space. This is a couple of years after his legendarily insane TV interview where he had like gotten into a domestic altercation. He got out on bail or on bond and they were like, James, are you worried? And he just starts like singing his own songs on television.
Yeah.
Because he can't even answer these questions. Like the end of James Brown's life is very sad. And I mean, he seems like he's having fun, but he also seems like he has no idea where he is or what is going on.
Let me ask you a question about this.
Yeah.
So do you think, watching this episode, do you think that Wheel of Fortune has gotten harder over the last 30 years, or do you think that they threw a lot of softballs at the celebrities in this? Because I felt like this was four very easy puzzles to solve.
It did seem very easy, and I don't... I mean, Jeopardy is legendary for that, right? When they do Celebrity Jeopardy, everything is dumbed down a significant amount because they assume these people aren't as smart as the average trivia person and it's for charity. So they want people
to win,
do well. If it's like we're raising money for charity and everyone tanks, then it's not as fun for anybody. So I assume it was dumbed down a little bit. I haven't watched enough modern Wheel of Fortune to know how it compares to that. But yeah, I mean, the first category we see, the category was Clue.
Clue.
And the answer winds up being Lassie's breed.
And then they got extra points if they could say what breed of dog Lassie was.
And Al got that.
Yeah,
of course Collie. Al got that. Pop culture guy. He figured it out. He solved the puzzle and he got Collie. Round two was a person. I think it was just person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the answer was soul singer Billie Holiday. Blues singer Billie Holiday. And first of all, hilariously, I love the fact that Lee Greenwood, there's so many letters on the board. It was very obvious who the person was, and Lee Greenwood did not have the name Billie Holiday ready to go. Well, that's probably not part of his.
I don't know. So here's the thing. I've debated this a million times from the few times I watch Wheel of Fortune. I think that when you know the answer, you still want to keep risking the spin because you have guaranteed money for every correct letter you guess. So you almost want to get it all the way down to where all that's left is vowels and then solve the puzzle. But you are running the risk of hitting a lose a turn or a bankrupt. Or because I've always wondered that. I don't think you get really anything for solving the puzzle quickly. Like, there's those people who will, like,
that's
guess
true.
One
and actually,
letter and solve it right
you're
away.
You're right. I also just realized I have it backwards. Round two was the one that Lee Greenwood got, which was the quote, and it was Ray, a drop of golden sun.
Yeah.
That was Lee Greenwood got that. But then in round three, I don't know, the way I saw, I only watched it the one time, but I remember him having like a lot of letters. And did he guess something? I couldn't remember
that's
if he
right.
guessed
no,
something
you're
wrong.
Right. He guessed it wrong. He guessed the wrong letter.
fully on the board was blues singer Billy, and it was like H-O-L.
Yeah.
H-O-L-I, and he just did not know that was like, he really could have had it because it goes to James Brown, and as confused as James Brown was, he knew enough to know that. He was like, I know what this is.
Yeah.
And he spun, got a letter, and then solved it and won the round.
Yeah, because it was basically once they got the, I knew it was Billie Holiday very early on. Like, yeah. Just based on, because I think they had I-L-L and H blank
yeah, totally.
L-I, where I was like, all right, that's Billie Holiday.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they said B, and I saw B-L two missing
yes.
letters. Like
yes.
I was like, all right, blues singer Billie Holiday. Got it.
Yep.
Like,
yep, exactly.
But I wrote down, as we talked about this, that G is the first letter that James Brown and Little Richard get correct. Then James Brown asks to buy a vowel and doesn't say anything for an uncomfortably long
time. Oh, that's right. he's like, I'd like to buy a vowel. Sure. And then it's just pause, pause, pause. And then so quietly he goes,
I.
And then Pat Sajak is like, I think I heard, was that I? I think I heard I. Let's go with an I. And it was like, oh man, they're really trying to like move this game along. And it was like, when James Brown solves that puzzle correctly, Little Richard gives him like a pat on the shoulder that is as if he was 4 years old.
Yeah.
And he won something at a carnival and his dad's like, nice job, kid. You got it.
Now,
there
did I miss, I hope I didn't clock this incorrectly, but I believe during the second puzzle, Al guesses the letter T. It's not in the puzzle. And then it comes to James Brown, who spins the wheel and asks, is there a T?
Yep, that's absolutely right.
And
the audience
Richard
doesn't even react.
Horrified.
Yeah. Like, Little Richard looks horrified. It's just kind of so quiet. And Pat Sajak just goes, nope.
Nope.
And then just move on. again, poor James Brown. He was having a hard time. I love the fact that Al, like, of course, as we said, Al has parodied James Brown. Obviously must be a huge fan. And of Little Richard. I mean, my God, who's not a fan of Little Richard?
Little Richard.
I mean, that's legendary stuff for Al to stand next to, even if both of them are confused and annoyed as to why they are there.
You got to give credit to Little Richard because you and I are the same age, right?
Yes.
I'm speaking for myself, but I feel like I'm speaking for both of us. I'm pretty sure I knew who Little Richard was in the late 80s, early 90s before I knew that Little Richard was a musician. You know, like
that's probably true. Yeah.
He really, like, in that late 80s, early 90s part of his career, he was doing a lot of like television. Cause I remember him, probably the first time I ever saw him was the Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas special.
Yes.
But
that was a big one.
But he did a lot of kids' television at that time for whatever reason. And he's so
he's amazing.
It's interesting to think about because based on James Brown's story and also just based on their careers, Little Richard is older than James Brown. Maybe not by much, but a little bit older, like an older brother level. But he just seems like he is still so on top of the ball in this. Like he's,
you know,
really
what's amazing?
Because
I was just gonna say I thought Little Richard would be significantly older than James Brown. Little Richard was born in 1932. James Brown was born in 1933.
Oh, so it's a year difference.
They are the same age, basically.
Wow. But, you know, I mean, you could not, I mean, watching this, two completely different people. And like
oh
you
my
said,
God, yeah.
Like you said, also, this is like peak of James Brown's drug addictions. But
yes.
I appreciate a few things. A, I appreciate it that after every single puzzle, they go to commercial and we get a video clip from one of the performers. So we get Bedrock Anthem from Al at that point.
Yes.
You know, I know it's an old song. It is still weird to me to think of how old Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA actually
1984.
Is.
Like, I had to check myself because, again, so talking about like generationally, like I had that, or should say we almost certainly had that song have a big resurgence at on September 11th.
Yes.
There was a massive like return to that song, God Bless the USA. And but it predates that. It was written, it was originally featured for like Ronald Reagan,
yeah,
like campaign stuff. Now, Lee Greenwood says, I did a little bit of research on Lee Greenwood for this, which was very painful for me.
He's not great.
he said he just wrote the song because he wanted to, but basically immediately it gets used in campaign ads and films promoting Ronald Reagan for president in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like that's the primary initial use. It keeps reappearing anytime some conservative politician is looking for something to hit their message home. And he has sung it at, you know, as recently as at Trump rallies. Yeah,
pretty much any Republican candidate, Lee Greenwood is all the more than happy to show up and sing this song at a rally or inauguration or anything. Hey, man, I do a podcast about one-hit wonders. And
you covered Lee Greenwood?
I don't think he technically counts. I think he had a second hit somewhere. But as far as someone being like, hey, if this is the song I'm known for, I'm going to ride this bad boy to the sun, I got to give him credit for that. He really locked in on what people were looking to Lee Greenwood for, and he made sure that he was giving them that, if nothing else.
Lee Greenwood had, I'm just looking now, 7 number ones on the Hot Country Songs list. He also had a song called IOU in 1983 that was hit number 53 on the Hot 100. It seems like it was something of a more niche. I don't know what exactly. I know the rules for One Hit Wonder are,
I barely know the rules too. So maybe
are
he
counts. Vague and movable. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Maybe we just don't want to talk about him is also
That is, I mean, who wants to do that? Really? Let's be real. I mean,
I was almost sad
funny,
that he was on Wheel of Fortune. I'm like, oh man, now we got to talk about this guy.
I mean, again, let's just say like watching Weird Al lose to Lee Greenwood is something that I was not prepared to experience today.
No, that was devastating.
That was hard for me to experience. I'm sorry to even have to tell you guys that is what happened.
He had a impressive run.
Lee Greenwood
in hitting,
one round, the round he won, he hit the $3,500 mark and had a bunch of letters on it. And that's the only reason why he beat Al was because he had a single round where he hit a great space on the wheel and won, then wound up winning that puzzle, which is, again, how Wheel of Fortune works.
That's how the game's played.
I don't have to like Lee Greenwood to take away. He won. He did. He won the game.
He was raising money for the families that were lost on the Challenger explosion. So good. I mean, you can't take away a good cause and all that stuff.
No, you can't take. It was interesting because I thought that like he was raising money for the Challenger families. That is
like,
this is 8 years later.
Yeah.
That's a long time. I mean, not to take away from the families of the Challenger victims, but 8 years after raising money for the Challenger, that was surprising for me to hear. I was like,
I mean, I guess, look, if I'm never going to completely pretend that someone's trash, even if I want to. I mean,
sure.
Realistically, they probably need that money more in 1994 than they did in 1986, because if you know anything about when there's a major level of grief, everybody else is able to move on, but not the people dealing with the grief.
You know what? That's fair.
So the fact that 8 years later, he's like, these families probably still really need help after this. Like, good for him. I'm not going to take that away.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come baby come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast. Come baby come, baby baby come, come.
So he goes to the bonus round. He has someone there with him, and I don't remember who this woman is.
It was an opera singer. It was, I'm going to forget her name. I should have written it down. A somewhat notable opera singer. I had heard her name before. I'm not that, that's not my world really, but I did recognize the name.
So there's,
I don't know why she's there helping him.
No clue.
They're literally, Pat Sajak is like, look who we found.
Yeah. I wonder if she just happened to be a contestant. I'm imagining probably rightfully that this entire week of music challenges was all shot in a day. Maybe 2 days tops.
Probably.
You know
probably,
what I mean?
Like, yeah, 2 days tops. You can't have people like that coming back for a week. That's 100%. Way too much.
So they probably just rocketed through all those and she just happened to be there. So he goes to this final round, the bonus round, and it's Thing. And between the letters that they give him and the letters that him and this opera singer guess, they get, of the five-letter word, they get three of the letters. M-O-R at the back. They have to guess the two letters in the front. I'm in my house yelling tumor. I'm like, tumor. It's got to be tumor. And then Al runs over after they get it wrong and says that it's humor. And probably...
Well, if you notice, Al, the first thing Al says is tumor.
Yeah.
So these idiots... Lee Greenwood and this opera singer, they're like, okay, here you go. Start solving armor. The puzzle. And they keep saying armor and rumor.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, we've already established there's one R.
Yeah.
You stop saying words with more R's. That's just definitely, and I understand, like, yeah. People, you on Wheel of, like, this is, you know, a challenging thing to, you're in the moment and you're struggling with it. But because it was for charity, they lose. And Pat's like, why don't we bring over our other people and just, let's see if we can get it. If someone else can get it.
Yeah.
And Al, James Brown, and Little Richard just kind of saunter over. And Al just goes, tumor, rumor.
Humor.
Or humor. Tumor, humor. And Pat's like, yeah, humor. That was
humor.
It. You got it.
And then the opera woman looks at him and goes, humor is a thing? And he says, you play in our house, you play by our rules.
Yeah, he was like, I don't tell you how to sing arias. Which is fair, you know.
But
fair play, Pat Sajak. But I mean, of course, humor is a thing. It's not the thing you're thinking of. But again, have you watched this show before? Yeah. Especially in the final round, they're trying to be a little bit tricky with the
And Thing is, it's always Thing because it's anything can count as a thing. Essentially,
anything can be a thing.
So I want to talk about bonus rounds for a second, though, because Pat Sajak makes a reference to the last time Al was there. He jumped on him when he won the game.
Yes.
And I was able to find that bonus round where Al, based on just perfect letter guessing, gets no blank blank RM done. And the timer is going and he very slowly goes, no harm done. And then when they say it's correct, he is going ballistic. He like jumps into Pat Sajak's arms. He's flailing around. He collapses to the ground and is convulsing. It is everything you want Al to be on a game show. You get in that 20 seconds of him celebrating.
He almost climbs up a little bit on the set decoration that the wheel is in.
Yeah.
Like he definitely went rogue. Another great moment. He fully jumps like legs in the air into Pat Sajak's arms and like bear hugs him like a wrestling move. And another great moment where Pat Sajak jokes about it, but a look on his face, I think he was slightly annoyed that Al did that. Pat Sajak makes the joke. He's like, congratulations, Al. You will be hearing from my attorney.
Yeah. There is a world in which Al could have very easily pulled Pat Sajak to the ground.
Oh, my God. He could have knocked him over. They could have fallen on top of like the steps leading up to the wheel. The pointy side of a stair going into the small of your back. Oh, yeah. No, there's damage. But, you know, that's Al.
Yeah.
You invite Al on your show, you're going to get what you get, you know?
Yeah. If you want someone to be calm, invite calm Al Yankovic, but that's not who
you
called
exactly.
up.
Yes, exactly. Invite Lee Greenwood, who's has no emotion the entire time he's on that show.
Even when he wins.
Even when he wins, he just seems annoyed to be there. He's like just like, oh, God, that means I got to do something else. I love the fact in that final round, in the final round we see from the previous episode, Al's so smart. Like, he actually, like, nobody, very few people, again, I don't want to seem like I'm too much of an expert on Wheel of Fortune because I haven't really watched this show in years, but Al actually does thoughtful, smart picks with his letters when he sees what he has on the board and what he has to work with. Like, if you have a word that's N, the letter N, and then a blank, and that's it, just two letters, that has to be the word no.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that could be there. So you have to pick. And by knowing that, he got additional space. Like, he was really, you could see him, like, looking at what he had and being like, okay, that's got to be an O, so I'm definitely having that be my vowel. This four-letter word, I know what this is. It's probably got to be an N or a D, like words that end certain ways. Like, it was very, very if you strategic
see a,
picking.
If you see a single spot, it's either going to be A or I, right?
Yeah, like exactly.
Like, it's figuring that out. He also always made S his first letter, just playing the odds. You know what I mean? Like, there's a good chance, especially the more words that are up there, that an S is somewhere.
Al always made S his first letter, and James Brown, whether it was called or not, always said T, and it never worked out for him. He just was like, T, no. And then in the next round, Al says it first. Like, just that was all James Brown had in his head was T. I think he said H one other time. Like, the poor guy. It really, it was, I mean, that was probably for me the highlight of the whole thing, was like watching what looked like James Brown being supervised by Little Richard on some sort of weird, like, work release program.
Which,
like,
just side crazy. Note, Little Richard didn't bring anything to the table, mind you.
It seems like he was almost not allowed to help.
Like, he doesn't say
anything. He doesn't
call
a single letter. He doesn't guess the puzzles. He doesn't spin the wheel. James is doing everything, and Little Richard's just looking at him like, that was a stupid choice.
That's what I mean. I almost feel like he's there as a handler for James Brown the whole time.
It seems that way. It reminds me of, like, that bodyguard hiding out behind LL Cool J on Remote Control. I was like, what is this guy doing here? He's just, like, supervising.
Listen, Pat, I know you're listening. Now that you're retired, if you want to come on, we'll happily do a little bonus episode with you just telling us the story of this.
Pat Sajak or Vanna White, I want an inside. I mean, Vanna would be a better. We got to have Vanna on the show to talk about her song and then talk about working with Al on this show. That's my goal.
Let's put the
get
feelers
Vanna
out
on this
there.
Show.
All right.
I don't know. Does anyone know how to get in touch with Vanna White?
I think you just yell her name out and just yell out a letter and she'll show up.
Every once in a while, these people on our social media groups and stuff like come out with amazing, like our friend who was on Remote Control. Like, we have enough reach now. Let's, if someone is like, I'm Vanna's nephew. It's like, oh my God, please put us in touch.
Please make this happen.
Desperately.
Well, Matt,
one more note, just because I love this so much for Al on Jeopardy. Sorry, on Wheel of Fortune. In the first game he plays that he wins the jackpot, which is $25,000 for charity. And the $25,000 plus what he already won puts him, I don't know the exact number, but just above $27,000. Al's magic number. He hit 27.
He did hit $27,000.
What are the chances of that?
I know. Hey, unfortunately, I guess Lee Greenwood's favorite number is 30-something dollars.
But and Al was giving his money to Comic Relief, which I also love. That's a great, like, of course he's doing that. Good for him and a great thing. Like, yeah. No, so Al, despite losing the game, Al still did manage to win. And in the final round, I think they say they gave everyone's charity an additional $5,000 as a courtesy thing since Lee Greenwood blew the final round.
Yeah.
They're like, everyone will get an extra $5,000. So Al raised a lot of money for charity.
And then they gave what the grand total was of all of them combined. Like, I think that all the charities combined got like $100,000.
It was $175,000.
Yeah. Which I think that was including all of the previous people from the episodes. Like, I think that was the grand total that week that they gave away.
More than 30,000 of that was Al's winnings.
You know,
so well done.
You know, I never really thought about this until this second, but, like, man, a show like Survivor or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or literally any of these game shows where there are millions of dollars being given away every year, right? You have to, like, justify that much money in, like, ad revenue and everything else to, like, make that viable. Now take that and imagine that you're giving thousands of dollars to someone every single day on, like, Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. And, like, that's how strong the advertising quality still is on these, like, live television game shows.
Primetime game shows that people want. Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's insane to think about in that lens. All right. Well, Matt, we're still not quite ready to talk about Alapalooza, even though Al was touring on Alapalooza. We got a mailbag left to go.
So send us messages and tell us like what we've gotten wrong. Maybe you're going to tell us about some deep cut from Lee Greenwood we need to hear.
Look, we really need people to sign off on where they land on Airline Amy, since that's the most divided.
Oh,
we've
that's
ever
the other big
on
one. Yes.
Song.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that'll be fun, and we'll be back next week.
Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.